Sometimes I wonder how people function. I mean, how specific people function. They always ask you for a pen, as if the idea that they might have to take notes in class was sprung on them that day. When they arrive at the register, they have to dig through a pillowcase-sized purse and pour all the contents out on the counter, as if they had no idea the cashier would ask for payment. This goes beyond absent-mindedness, as this is a daily occurrence. Simple things that most of us are accustomed to, paying for things, taking notes, a basic level of preparation, in life come as a surprise to them. That might be nice while gliding through life, and they're probably happy in their flighty little head, but it's a huge inconvenience to everyone around them. In Dawn and the Impossible 3, our favorite California girl meets a person who needs a lot of help, and Dawn doesn't seem up to the task. This is Rereading My Childhood, The Babysitter's Club number 5, Dawn and the Impossible 3. The book starts with Dawn sitting at the Pikes. Dawn goes over how her parents got divorced and her mother moved them across the country. The two little kids from down the street come over to play, Buddy and Susie Barrett. Dawn connects with them because their mother is also recently divorced. After her job is done, she is heading to the BSC meeting when she sees Marianne, who yells, "Great news!" and we end the first chapter on a cliffhanger. Did I accidentally read a Goosebumps book instead? The cliffhanger is quickly resolved. Marianne says that her father is going to ask Dawn's mother out and he won't be there for dinner. I guess even Republicans have to date. As much as that idea makes me want to retch, who the hell would date a Republican? At the BSC meeting, the girls hand in their dues and decide to use the money to buy more stuff for the kid kits. The Preziosos, the Noons, and the Brewers call. More importantly, there's a call from a new client. It's Mrs. Barrett, and Dawn takes the job. Saturday morning, Dawn goes over to Marianne's house, primed with stuff for Marianne to go through in her endeavor to redecorate her room. Apparently, the Schaefers brought a bunch of stuff with them that they were planning on selling. Why they didn't get rid of the stuff while still in California instead of packing it all up, paying shipping fees, and unboxing it for the express purposes of a yard sale, I don't know. Christy catches wind of shenanigans in Marianne's room and the two shout at each other through their windows. Christy comes over and acts hostile and jealous toward Dawn, refusing to speak directly to her and never laughing at her jokes. This behavior continues into lunch the next school day when Marianne and Dawn realize that they'll be sisters if their parents get married. During Dawn's initial meeting with the Barretts, Buddy, Susie, and Marnie, she makes a strict no-guns rule. Good rule, but this is America, Dawn, and in America we give guns to every God-fearing white person who wants to become Second Amendment, blah, 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 rights, blah, protection, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, Mrs. Barrett is discombobulated. She doesn't give Dawn a phone number to reach her in case of emergency. She says, call the Pikes, okay? Something called POW is waiting outside, and the baby needs stuff. Then she leaves and Dawn is in charge. Dawn learns that POW is, quote, the meanest dog who ever lived. He's a lethargic basset hound. So, a basset hound. Dawn figures out a way to trick the kids into cleaning the living room, the kitchen, and the playroom by turning it into a game where they have to break their previous record time. She bonds with the kids more regarding their mother's divorce. Susie gets upset that her father isn't coming back, and then she pees her pants. I don't think the two events are related, but that's the order in which they happened. Mrs. Barrett returns and she calls Dawn the best babysitter she's ever had. Dawn is happy and says that if Mrs. Barrett needs Dawn to come over, she can call on her anytime. Dawn ends the chapter with the following ominous passage. If only I had known how often any time was going to be, I might not have spoken so quickly. Meanwhile, Christy babysits for Karen and Andrew and they play this game called Let's All Come In. Basically, they pretend to be hotel guests with outlandish personalities. Clearly this is something Karen invented. It's not really a game if no one wins, but there are definitely losers and let's all come in. Karen's friend Hanny comes over and the games begin. Hanny pretends to be a woman named Mrs. Nowswimple, who is meeting her husband in Canada for a party with the Queen and the Emperor. Strange, whenever I tell the hotel staff that I'm going to meet my husband in Canada for a party with the Queen and the Emperor, I'm escorted off the premises. While they're playing, the next-door neighbor, Mrs. Porter, a woman whom Karen thinks is a witch named Morbida Destiny, comes over and asks for some fennel and coriander. You know, for a kid who pretends to be someone named Mrs. Mysterious, not Mysterious, for some reason, and makes up stories about ghosts, Karen is awfully judgmental of her neighbor. Later, in a surprise move, Dawn invites Christy over. In an even more surprising move, Christy accepts. They hang out in Dawn's barn and patch things up through swinging on a rope swing and talking about divorce. By the end of the chapter, they're friends. Dawn becomes the BSC's alternate officer, a person who fills in for any role if a member can't, and Christy's jealousy doesn't rear its ugly head. Well, at least until the next BSC fight. Dawn sits for the Barretts again, this time during an all-day affair that starts at 8:30 in the morning. Claudia calls and suggests a lunchtime picnic with the Pikes. Dawn and the Barretts bake some brownies for the event, and there are about 4 pages of baking. At the picnic, Jordan gives Nikki the buzzer sign, which is just pointing at someone and buzzing. The Pike kids created it to flip each other off without actually flipping the bird. Usually, you flip off your sibling behind your parents' back, and the idea is that they don't see it. The buzzer sign, however, is noisy. It's obvious when you do it. Maybe it's more akin to saying, shut up, shit brains. Anyway, it's time for brownies. Mallory snatches the brownie from Marnie. Is Mallory being a jerk? No, Mallory knows that Marnie is allergic to chocolate. This infuriates Dawn. Mrs. Barrett should have told her that Marnie can't eat chocolate. Dawn fully plans to address the issue with Mrs. Barrett, but when the forgetful mother comes home and notices how immaculate the house is, she gushes over Dawn. Dawn forgets any issues they had. During another babysitting job for the Barrett, Mrs. Barrett warns that if her ex-husband calls, Dawn shouldn't let him talk to the children or tell him that Mrs. Barrett is out. Mrs. Barrett implies that Mr. Barrett is not holding up his end of the custody deal financially. When Mrs. Barrett sees that Buddy spilled pink water on Susie, she looks to be on the verge of tears. Dawn insists that Mrs. Barrett get going and Dawn will take care of her moist child. Dawn babysits for the Barretts, quote, an awful lot over the next couple of weeks, and Mrs. Barrett's disorganization becomes a bigger issue. When Dawn needs to call her to let her know that Susie has a fever, Mrs. Barrett does not leave the phone number for the temp agency she's working with, but instead the number for Hurley's garage. This is a problem that wouldn't happen today, as Mrs. Barrett would just have a cell phone. But knowing Mrs. Barrett, she probably wouldn't charge her phone. Dawn also helps Buddy with his homework, a family tree. While Dawn can't tell him his family tree, she does help him put blanks to fill in with his grandparents and his aunts and uncles. When he comes to Dawn to let her know that he got a good grade, Dawn hugs him while thinking that it should be Mrs. Barrett hugging her son. Meanwhile, Stacy babysits for David Michael, who is nervous about moving. On a tangential issue, Chrissy doesn't know how she'll be getting to BSC meetings when she lives across town. Dawn's mom sets up a picnic for her parents to meet Mr. Spear. Again. Dawn invites the BSC, but only Marianne, obviously, and Chrissy's families can attend. Also, the Barretts show up. There's some food stuff involving the Schaefers driving to the grocery store because they don't have any red meat to serve people, but that's fixed relatively quickly. When everyone shows up, Dawn notices some tension between her grandparents and Mr. Spear. I sincerely doubt Mr. Spear was a rebel without a cause in high school, so I don't know why they have a problem with him. At the end of the picnic, Mrs. Barrett asks Dawn if she can babysit on Tuesday. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your point of view, Dawn isn't free, but Marianne is there to take the job. Mrs. Barrett rushes out of the house just as Buddy gives Susie the buzzer sign, causing her to burst into tears. The kids are getting restless, so Marianne tells them to put on their bathing suits and thongs, the shoes, I'm assuming, and they go outside. There, Buddy and Susie jump in the fresh puddles. Marianne calls this a puddle walk, and it's a great way to get worms. She doesn't even make them shower when they get home. They just have to change their clothes. It's gross. While Marianne is babysitting, Mr. Barrett calls to ask if he can speak with Susie or Buddy. Marianne remembered Dawn saying something about not letting Mr. Barrett talk to the kids, so she tells them that they're at a friend's house. Mr. Barrett gets angry and slams the phone. When Dawn babysits for the Barretts again, Buddy goes outside and throws a baseball around while Dawn gets Susie and Marnie dressed. When she finally goes outside, Buddy is nowhere to be found. She calls the Pikes and asks if Buddy is playing with Nikki. No luck. The Pikes rush over, ready to search for Buddy. They try to contact Mrs. Barrett, but she's shopping and no one can reach her. Finally, Jordan Pike comes back from his piano lesson and says he saw Buddy get into a strange car. He didn't say anything because he thought Buddy was going to a lesson of some kind because Jordan was going to his lesson at the same time. Dawn panics as the Pikes enlist others to help search for Buddy and they call the police. The police interrogate Jordan, seemingly to the point of traumatizing the poor kid. They also go through the Barrett's household looking for clues. Yeah, I wouldn't trust the cops, but I guess Dawn doesn't think she has any other options. Dawn bursts into tears and her mother tries to console her. Dawn gets a phone call on the Barrett family phone. It's Buddy. He's calling from a gas station. He says he got into his father's car, but he thinks he's not supposed to be with his father. Then the connection goes dead. Mrs. Barrett comes home to find the police and neighbors swarming around the house. Not long after that, Buddy sheepishly enters the house and we get an explanation. Apparently, earlier in the week, Mr. Barrett had become angry when he'd realized that once again, Mrs. Barrett had confused the dates and had forgotten that day was to be Mr. Barrett's day with Buddy, Susie, and Marnie. He had decided to teach her a lesson. His plan was to come by on Saturday, simply take the children, and wait for Mrs. Barrett to figure out her mistake, so he drove over to the Barrett's house. There he found Buddy by himself in the front yard. At that moment, he decided that the easiest course of action would be to just take Buddy without bothering to look for the girls. So he did. He drove Buddy to an amusement park and took him out to lunch, but Buddy didn't seem to be enjoying himself. When he asked what was wrong, Buddy said he was worried about me. He didn't think I knew where he was. That was when Mr. Barrett realized that Mrs. Barrett wasn't even home. Concerned about what a babysitter might do when she discovered that one of her charges was missing, he headed home immediately, stopping briefly at the gas station on the way. He tried to call before that, but had gotten only busy signals, and didn't even know Buddy had phoned until they were on the highway again. Buddy called while his father was in the men's room. Good Lord, Mr. Barrett. You think it's okay to just kidnap kids to teach their mother a lesson? No wonder Mrs. Barrett left you and you lost custody. You should lose unsupervised visitation also. Hey, son, if a bitch pisses you off, scare her into learning. It's not a husband's job to teach her a lesson. I know she's scatterbrained, but that's no reason to treat her like one of the children of whom you lost custody. Ugh. After the whole kidnapping debacle, Dawn finally tells Mrs. Barrett that Dawn can't be a mother to her children, and in order for Dawn to be a good babysitter, Mrs. Barrett needs to help her out with things like visitation and allergies and correct phone numbers. Mrs. Barrett promises to do better. Mrs. Barrett is no angel, but Mr. Barrett's behavior is inexcusable. Mrs. Barrett is absolutely one of those people who needs a lot of help in life. However, her problem is fixable. She could get into the planner lifestyle. Mr. Barrett should be a lonely divorced man who only sees his children while an actual adult supervises. I wish the best for Mrs. Barrett and Dawn. I really do.